Welcome to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, author of C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell, a companion and study guide to the Screwtape Letters. For today's show, I'm going to my archives to share a program that was first released back in 2012. It was with Dr. Joel Heck, and the subject is his book entitled Irrigating Deserts, which looks at Lewis's view on education. You've not likely heard this interview before because since I moved the hosting of my podcast to its current location at Podbean back in 2014, it hasn't been available. A few things to note before I replay the interview. First, Dr. Heck mentions a resource from his website called Chronologically Lewis. At the end of my chat with him, he says it's 350 pages. Well, that resource, which is still available online at the time of this re-release, is now over 1,000 pages. So be sure to check the show notes for a link to his website. Also, in 2017, I had another interview with Joel about his book called From Atheism to Christianity that you will find a link to in those same show notes, which I'll tell you how to get there if you're not familiar with it at the end of the program. Finally, back in the early days of my recordings, I did several by telephone, and this is one of them. So the quality is not as good as when I speak with my guest in person or online via Skype. Before we get into your book, first share a little bit about yourself, focusing mostly on what you do full-time.
I'm a professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas. That's located in Austin, Texas, the state capital. I've been here in Texas since 1998, and I've been in higher education for about 28 years. I'm an ordained Lutheran pastor, and I served in a congregation as a pastor at the beginning of my ministry, but been in higher education ever since, completing my doctorate in Old Testament exegetical theology many years ago.
Now, the subtitle of your book, Irrigating Deserts, is C.S. Lewis on Education. That gives us some information about the theme of your book. But give us more details about what the reader can find.
Well, you'll be able to find a good deal about how Lewis himself was educated instead of having to read Surprised by Joy and lots of other letters and things that he wrote and others wrote to him about his early years. This gives a summary of his education. It also takes a look at three major essays that he wrote that dealt with education. Our English Syllabus is one of them, second one called Democratic Education, and the third one, The Parthenon and the Optative. And it talks a good deal about Oxford University and how an education at Oxford is different from the typical American university. So Lewis was not only trained at Oxford University as an undergraduate, having gone to University College, but he also taught there for 29 years. So most Americans don't quite understand the Oxford and Oxbridge system, as it's sometimes called. So I spent some time talking about that, about the two schools that he taught at, both Oxford and Cambridge, and then also have read Lewis widely in order to glean what he has to say about education in his various writings, bits and pieces here and there, instead of in addition to those three major essays, and so pulled it all together into what we might call Lewis's philosophy of education.
Now, how long did it take you to write, and what was some of that process?
Well, that's difficult to say. It was 2 or 3 years probably from the start of the research and writing to publication, even though when you're writing on Lewis, it in a sense it starts whenever you start reading Lewis, so it was really longer than that. But in addition to reading Lewis extensively, I traveled to England and visited both of the colleges where he taught at, Magdalen College, Oxford, and Magdalen College, Cambridge, and interviewed some of the people that knew him when he was a fellow at those institutions, including Walter Hooper and other colleagues, some of whom are mentioned in the book, particularly early on in the book. In the opening chapter, I talk about a conversation I had with Ronald Higham, who was a young colleague in history, in British imperial history, when Lewis was near the end of his career in the early 1960s. So I met various people that knew him at Oxford and Cambridge during that visit, some first-hand research. Plus, I benefited a great deal from the assistance of Robin Darwall Smith, who is a historian and archivist at both Magdalen College, Oxford, and University College, Oxford. He was able to put in a periodical called Oxford Today, an invitation for people who had studied with C.S. Lewis to write to me and tell me about their experiences. And so I had about a dozen people, men and women, write to me who had studied with Lewis and tell me what their experience was as an undergraduate under Lewis's tutelage. So incorporated that into the book as well.
What kind of response have you gotten, or any comments about your book? Anything that stand out in your mind?
Oh, I've gotten some fairly positive responses. It tends to be a more technical book than popular book. A lot of things written about Lewis, you know, focus on the Chronicles of Narnia and his popular, easy-to-read sort of stuff. But a book that takes a look at Lewis as an educator is really studying Lewis the scholar and what he thought about education, and his philosophy of education comes out in the book. So it's not the easiest reading, but I did get positive comments from Walter Hooper, Angus Manoogian, and Richard Hill for the cover of the book, and Alistair McGrath, a great Oxford theologian and writer, wrote to me and said he had written it, and bits and pieces here and there I've got comments from various people appreciating the work that was done in that book.
Now, this isn't the only work regarding Lewis that you've been involved in. There's a book by C.S. Lewis called The Personal Heresy that you were involved in the reprinting, if I'm not mistaken. Tell us about that.
The Personal Heresy was reprinted in August of 2008. It had been out of print for some time, and I noticed that in my wide reading of Lewis, and so I contacted the Lewis Company and asked if they would be willing to give permission to reprint one of the very few books of his that are out of print, and they graciously gave me permission. So I worked with our own press here at Concordia University, Texas, which is Concordia University Press, and a local printer to reprint this book, got an original facsimile of the book, went through the process, did some editorial work, because Lewis, in almost all of his writings, except the children's fiction and adult fiction, he quotes phrases, words and phrases from foreign languages, and not just one or two, but Latin, Greek, German, French, and a number of other languages on top of that. So I did some work and did some translating of the foreign language phrases, also put some footnotes in dealing with some of his literary allusions to try to make the book a little bit more accessible to the reading public. Because you could say the book deals with Lewis's doctrine of objective value for a piece of literature, kind of what the abolition of man does for an objective standard of right and wrong in the realm of morality. Lewis, in The Personal Heresy, does for how you read literature. An Experiment in Criticism is another work that deals with that in a little bit more popular vein. But The Personal Heresy is a series of three articles or essays by Lewis and three responses by E.M.W. Pilliard, an English professor at Cambridge University in the 1930s when Lewis was at Oxford, and that they disagreed on whether reading a piece of literature was more about the author of that literature or more about the topic that the author was writing on. And Pilliard selected the former and Lewis the latter, and they went back and forth on this in those six essays and eventually published the entire thing in 1939.
Shifting gears to some more general questions I try to ask all the people that I interview, Lewis, and that is, why do you think Lewis has such an appeal to so many people?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons for Lewis's appeal. One is his prodigious memory. One is his deep thinking. One is his ability to communicate. He understood rhetoric, I think, from his the kind of education that he got. But perhaps the thing, the most important thing about Lewis was his ability to combine the rational side of the brain with the imaginative side of the brain in very powerful prose, enabled him to master the use of the analogy to illustrate difficult points. And so he could take deep points of theology or literary criticism and use an illustration that would make it clear to the reader. Sometimes being criticized for that as though he were being simplistic, but realizing that for the sake of communicating to his reading public, he was willing to use an analogy that might seem to some to be simplistic. But I think that's one of the fundamental reasons why he was so effective in his writing.
Now, would you be able to narrow down to maybe one or two books by Lewis that has meant the most to you?
That would be difficult, but Mere Christianity is typically named by most people. It's one of his bestsellers. His top three areas of writing on Mere Christianity, which is Christian apologetics, Screwtape Letters, which is human psychology, the art of temptation, and very imaginative fiction, and then the Chronicles of Narnia, and the seven-book compilation. So those are the three favorites in the reading public, and I can't do any better than Mere Christianity, even though I like pretty much everything that Lewis wrote.
Now, in terms of liking pretty much anything he's written, is there any book or books by him that you didn't particularly like or had a difficult time with?
Well, there are two books that I didn't like the first time I read them, and then I later on realized that the flaw was not in the books so much as in me. Although there are flaws in his autobiography, Surprised by Joy, since he spends so much of his time in that book exorcising the demon of his early educational experiences. He attended some really bad schools, and he tells a lot about that in that book. But if you set those parts of that book aside, there's some tremendously powerful sections of that book, the story of his conversion, the story of how God was reaching out to him, how the Hound of Heaven was tracking him down, and some of his early upbringing in his house that was full of endless books and nothing was forbidden to him. So that book actually has some of the most quotable quotes by C.S. Lewis of anything that he ever wrote. And the other book that I had a hard time with the first time I read it, and I've since come to like it, is the third book of his Ransom trilogy, That Hideous Strength. A lengthy book with some odd ideas that come together in it, but when I came to realize that this was actually a novelistic embodiment of what he offers in his more philosophical book, The Abolition of Man, then I came to appreciate that book a great deal more and to see what he has to say about language, about education, about the purpose of living, and a lot of other things as well in that book. So that one I have a hard time with, too. And there are a few others in his field of English language and literature that are difficult for me, and unless you're an expert in English literature, you probably will have a difficult time with books like The Allegory of Love and The Discarded Image, but they're worth reading even if you're not an expert in those fields.
Now, while we want to encourage people to read books by Lewis, do you have any books, one or two, that stand out to you about Lewis that you have found helpful or that you've recommended to others when they're wanting to learn about Lewis?
Yes, there's several biographies of Lewis. George Sayce's biography entitled Jack is generally considered to be the preeminent biography of Lewis. Alistair McGrath, by the way, is coming out with one in 2013, a new biography of Lewis that I'm really interested in reading. But also the biography that was co-authored by Walter Hooper and Roger Green, both of whom knew C.S. Lewis, Green especially well, and Hooper towards the end of his life. Those two collaborated to put some unique stories inside of that book that aren't really accessible to too many other people. And that's also also, by the way, one of the strengths of the George Sayer book. Sayer was a student of Lewis's, and he was also then a friend of Lewis after his school days, and so he spent time in the Lewis home, and the Lewis brothers ended up spending time in Malvern at the George Sayer home, so they got to know each other pretty well, plus they were in the same field of English literature. So those are two excellent biographies about C.S. Lewis, but there are lots of other books that I've got on my shelves. In terms of Narnia, I really like Paul Ford's Companion to Narnia, kind of an encyclopedia about Narnia. And as the movies come out, the Chronicles of Narnia come out one at a time, the books that Devin Brown writes on each of them successively as they come out, Devin Brown brings some unique insight into his writing about Lewis. And who can forget Michael Ward, his Planet Narnia, and then his more popular version of it, which I actually like better because Planet Narnia is a bit scholarly, too scholarly for the typical reader, but Narnia Code, I think, really brings his fundamental thesis to light that Lewis wrote seven Chronicles of Narnia because there were seven planets in the medieval cosmology, and one book reflects one of those seven planets. So since there weren't any more than that, Lewis decided not to write any more books in that series of children's fantasies.
As we wrap up, tell our listeners your web address and what people can find there.
Yes, my web address is joelheck.com, joelheck.com. And probably the thing that it's most known for is an extensive chronology of what the Lewis brothers were doing on any given day during their lifetimes. To the extent that that is available to us through letters and diaries and reminiscences of various people. So there is a very extensive, about 350 pages worth of data about what was happening in Lewis's life. I think it'll be a very strong piece of historical resource material for anybody doing work on Lewis's life. But there are also some downloadable PowerPoints on various geographical sites related to Lewis, outlines of his book, even some free downloads that aren't PowerPoint related that summarize books like Mere Christianity and Miracles and the Screwtape Letters and other sorts of things, and a few articles that I've written that have been published in various publications about Lewis. Even have C.S. Lewis' brother Warren's military record that I was able to get by writing to a military commission in Great Britain. So those records are online at my website and a few other things as well. But that's basically what's on my website, all related to C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, and I do want to encourage people to visit that. I enjoy that myself. Well, Joel, appreciate thanks for being with us.
I consider it an honor to be with you, William.
And thank you, my listener, for your interest in All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, and All About Jack is also part of the Theology Mix podcast network. Be sure to check the show notes for any links mentioned during the program. The show notes can be found either at EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. The Podbean location is where the podcast is most easily found and navigated. Again, that's allaboutjack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. The other location, EssentialCSLewis.com, highlights the most recent show on the main page and also has space dedicated to listing past shows and the notes for them. Additionally, you can find a variety of other material on Lewis at EssentialCSLewis.com, including a popular series that explores quotations attributed to him that may not be from him. When you visit my site, be sure to listen to other interviews and special podcasts on a variety of topics, mostly directly related to Lewis. And in case you didn't know, during the week, I occasionally post previously released podcasts on my iTunes feed that you can also find at the Podbean address. If you don't know how to get to the show on iTunes, then be sure to check the show notes for a direct link to that. Again, those notes can be found either at EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. If you do visit me on iTunes, please consider rating my podcast, as it can help others find it there. Finally, in case you haven't heard, I have a book called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell, a Companion and Study Guide to the Screwtape Letters. It is available online at Amazon. Paperback is $14.99, and at last check, the Kindle edition was just $5.49. Buying the book is a great way to help support my podcast. You can learn more about my book by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. There you can get an immediate download of a free 20-page PDF sample of the book. Again, that's ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Thanks again for listening to All About Jack.